Morning's reading will be taken from page 1155. It's 1 Corinthians 15. There'll be two sections. We've got verses 3 to 8 and then 20 to 30. So that's page 1155, chapter 15. The resurrection of Christ. Okay. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Verses 20 to 30. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? Amen. Praise the Lord.
We Christians celebrate every Sunday. Universally, Christians gather in the churches every Sunday to worship the Lord. Do you know why? Please don't say that it is falling on the weekend or it's a day off from work. It is the day that the Lord has risen to remember and celebrate his resurrection. We come together as a church and worship the Lord. But today is something more special than the other usual Sundays. It is the Lord's resurrection day, which occurred in history 2,000 years ago. And adding on to that, in the church, we are celebrating two baptisms. Jesus told in the parable of the lost son and the lost coin, he mentions these verses. There will be rejoicing in heaven over one soul who repents. So ashes is joining with the entire heavenly beings today, and we are going to celebrate for two souls repenting today. What a glorious day it is. We have been blessed. One of the ministers, he went to see the film, The Passion of the Christ. As he was leaving the theater, he was passing by two teenage boys. The one boy said to the another, "I don't get it." The other boy responded, "That guy died, right?" There might be some people, even today, hearing this story year after year, don't get it feeling like those two boys. These things are not just the historical facts, but his death and resurrection is connected to our life and our personal relationship with God right now. Have you ever experienced the risen Christ in your life? Just think about it for a moment. It's just a question to reflect. Have you experienced the risen Christ in your life? Do you experience him every day? Do you experience him only on Sundays? Do you experience him only when you hear such hallelujah songs? Just think for a moment. Do we experience the risen Christ in our life? David Pearson, he was one of the biblical teacher and the pronounced preacher. He was preaching on one Sunday in his church. A Jewish young lady was just sitting in his church, listening to his sermon. At the end of the sermon, she was running to him and asked him, "Is Jesus the Nazareth still alive?" He replied, "Yes, he is alive." And the lady replied, "If it is so, then he must be our Messiah." David smiled and he replied, "Yes, he is our Messiah." And then she asked, "How can I make sure that Jesus is alive today?" He took her back to the church in a small room. He asked her to sit there comfortably and asked her to speak with the Lord. And he said, "Just chat with him and clarify all the questions you have. I will come and see you after a few minutes." She was left there for 15 minutes. After 15 minutes, she was rushing towards David and she said, "Yes, Jesus is alive." Her eyes were welled up and she was shivering. And she told him, "Yes, Jesus is alive." And she started teaching David, showing all the scriptures from the passages which were directing that the risen Christ, he is still alive. She started sharing that. Experiencing Christ in our life. He is wishing to come and live in us. The only barrier is on our side. We need to open ourselves and ask, "Yes, Jesus, come and dwell in me." That just one response, he is waiting. He is waiting for the last 2,000 years or more, and still he is gracious enough to wait for us. This is the day to commit or think about what he is inviting for. On this Resurrection Sunday, I would like to invite you to imagine it in this way. How would it be if Jesus' body is found in the tomb? you can share with the person nearby, how would it be if Jesus' body is found in the tomb? 2 minutes, we can share with the person next to us. What do we feel about that? If his body is found in there.
There is no Christianity. There is no Christianity. There is no hope. Then, as we sang, the whole Christianity will be a scandal.
How would it be if Jesus' body is found in the tomb? 3 days after, in the dawn, on the early morning, Mary Magdalene and the other woman would have arrived there, and the seal must be there still, and the rock must not have been rolled away, and she must have sought for 20 to 30 men to open the rock, to roll the rock away, because Mark, in the gospel he has recorded, it is too heavy. So it needs about 20 to 30 men to roll the rock away. Even after rolling the rock away, they must have seen Jesus' body lying there, just like other normal human body. Their purpose was to come and anoint the body. They must have anointed with the spices, and they must have left the body there, and they must have returned back home. Do you like the story?
No.
Do you like this climax?
No.
No. Was it then happened? If it is so happened, then we are engaging in the biggest fraud in the Christianity. Everything should be shut down by now. And the Christianity is dead because it has misled so many people. The uniqueness and the central theme of our Christian faith is he is dead, he is buried, and he rose again.
Amen.
The authority of Christ hangs on the resurrection. Anyone would like to disprove the authority of Christ by doing it in a simple stroke. And if Christ were a charlatan, he must have done it in one simple statement. Do you know what he would have said? He would have said that, I would rise again spiritually. So there is nothing there to falsify his statement. After his death, his body must have found, people would have come before him with the body, and he would say, yes, I said I would rise again spiritually, my body is there. But Jesus did not say that. He said that he would rise again bodily. He would rise again physically. That is the authority of resurrection. It gives the retroactive authentication of all the Christ statements and the resurrection in the Bible. So all these statements, what Jesus has said, that I will be handed over to the high priests and the Roman authorities, I will be died soon, and I will be buried, I will rise again. And all these statements have come true. Since these statements have come true, then you can imagine all the rest of the statements, whatever he has spoken about him and the whole scriptures must be true. Personally, I am a fact person, which means my faith is based on fact and truth and not on feelings. After Jesus has been buried in the tomb was closed by the huge rock so that no one can easily enter into it and remove the body out easily. And they were sealed by the Roman authority. If anyone touches the rock, it becomes illegal. And the soldiers were kept there to guard the tomb day and night for 3 days. These were all set because Jesus claimed before his death that his Father in heaven will not leave him there as dead forever. So it has become vital for them to retain his body inside the tomb. Despite of all this protection and security and guardings and all those things, what happened? Early morning, Mary Magdalene went there. The tomb was open and the tomb was empty. His body was not there. Hallelujah. We haven't have no visual evidence because we haven't given any body. No body, no visual evidence, and we are stuck. Christians want to produce the living body to convince the skeptic. The skeptic want to produce the dead body to disprove the Christianity. Any scientific evidence? Scientists can work either by observation or by reproducing it in the laboratory. So with this resurrection process, there is the scientists can't do either of those. Any legal evidence? Normally legal evidences, it worked based on eyewitness testimony or circumstantial evidences. There was a news, the murder case, that was published in the newspaper 2 to 3 years ago. It was about a lady found murdered at the bottom of the cliff in the beach in South Wales. The police arrested the husband under suspicion. The investigation first started from eyewitness testimony. They were checking whether the lady has been pushed by someone from the cliff or she has fallen on her own. And they were looking for eyewitnesses whether the husband was walking with her before the incident and then walking back on his own. And what were the circumstantial evidences? They were searching whether he has taken any life insurance on her name recently, or whether he has been found with any new woman. And then they were searching whether he has got any air ticket to fly off. But with this resurrection, there are lots of eyewitnesses. Jesus appeared first to the women when they went to anoint the body. And then he was appearing to the disciples. And then he was appearing to 500 men. And even Paul was stating there, I was the one to whom he appeared, though I was the worst among them. So many eyewitnesses. The gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they have recorded about the resurrection of Christ. Yeah, there are tiny details, disagreement between the gospel writers. If they have all produced the records very precisely, then people would say that it is all colluding. The eyewitnesses, for example, you can say that one of the eyewitnesses would say that I saw a girl, a child, running before the car, and the car was swiveled to avoid hitting the child, and it hit the van nearby. Another eyewitnesses might say, I saw the child running before the car with the ball, and the car was avoiding to hit the child, and it hit the van nearby. The main theme, the car avoiding the child and hitting the van. That is the main theme. It is same. Only the peripheral bits, like whether the child was running on its own or with the ball, may be different. Similarly, one of the gospel writers must have written, he was seeing an angel sitting on the rock, and another one might have written, two angels sitting on the rock. But what is the truth? Jesus is resurrected. There is no body inside. The tomb is empty. The death could not hold him. He is risen. And all these biblical historical evidences are lying before us. One of the lawyers in England, his name is Frank Morrison. You might have heard about him. He wanted to disprove the resurrection. And he decided to write a book called Who Moved the Stone? While he started examining the evidences, at the end, he had to start writing a new book, and he finished this book saying that the angel has moved the stone. So if anyone would like to disprove the authority of Christ, they can start writing a book. Before the book ends, their life will be changed. We know that before the ladies went to anoint Jesus' body, Nicodemus, the one who was learning from Jesus secretly in the evenings, and Joseph, the Arimathea, both anointed the body of Jesus according to Jewish system. In the Jewish system, they take a long linen cloth and they wound around the body from the upper chest to the feet. And they will fill the body with the spices and aloe and everything, and then they will wrap around the body again with another piece of linen cloth from the upper chest to the feet. And they use a separate linen cover to cover the upper portion from the forehead and all this face. So they did it, and they laid the body there, and they left. Have you imagined, after Jesus resurrected, think about that. He was wound round with the linen body, and his linen cloth were found there, like just on the as a sheet. There is no body inside, and no spices have been spilled around. It was not recorded in the Bible. And how has he appeared before the people after resurrection? Has he appeared naked to Mary? Or has he gone to Marks and Spencer on the way to buy some clothes? Something supernatural happened in the tomb. A new body was given. God was creating something new in there. Creation is happening there. New body given, new cloth given, new life given. The new body, what Jesus has got now, it was passing through the locked doors now. He is ready to give us as well the new body, the new creation. If you remember in Genesis, he created the heavens and the earth, and then he created men and women. But in this new creation, he is creating new men and women, and new heaven and earth is preparing for us. This time, he is starting with the people now. There is the word new cannot be found much in the Old Testament. The new can be found only in the New Testament with the risen new Christ. If I remember, there is only one verse in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says about the word new. This is nothing but, behold, there is nothing new under the sun. That is the only word saying about, sentence saying about new. Today, we have new creation. Two new creations. Oli and Sida, they are new in Christ. They have chosen the newness in their life. They have committed their life to Christ now. They are new. All world has gone. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The world has gone, the new has come. Sida and Oli have learnt their ABC in their walk with Christ. Accepting Jesus as their personal savior. Believing him alone can save them. Confessing with their mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Oli and Sida, they have agreed Jesus as their personal savior. And they came to us asking, what should they do now? Similar like the crowds went to ask Peter on the day of Pentecost, what should we do now, Lord? And Peter was replying, repent and be baptized so that you will be receiving the gift of the Holy Christ. So they are now with us. It is so beautiful to have the Resurrection Sunday celebration and the baptism together. They are too intricately connected. During their immersion, they say that all their own lives have been buried with Christ. In the water, their sins have been forgiven and washed away. When they are coming up out of the water, they have been raised with Christ. And beautifully, in Romans, it says, all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, there is a call to the church. Accepting Jesus as your personal savior and then taking baptism. They are like engagement and marriage. If you are engaged already, accepting Jesus as your personal savior, then think about that. It is not good to leave engagement and marriage giving a wider gap. If you are engaged, it is better to get married and publicly announcing to the church, to the fellowship, to the people and the family around, I belong to Christ. And some of us might be in the early stage, not yet engaged. Late is better than never. So the room is open. We are here for you. Just come and tell us in what stage you are now. You are pre-engaged or engaged or want to get married, anything. We can engage you with Jesus through scriptures and you can take decision. The age is not a matter. Or you don't need to feel shy. I have been coming to this church or walking with Christ for so many years, but I haven't taken baptism. Will that be nice if I go and take baptism now? Please don't have that hesitation with you, because I am one of those. You can take me as an example. I took baptism only a few years ago. The main thing is we need to come into the Lord. We need to accept Jesus as a savior. He took baptism in the age of 30. And he showed the role model before us. Since he has been baptized, he is calling us to be baptized and to be the disciples. So let us make this day. Think about it, about your commitment to Christ. Shall we pray?